I have joining me on this edition of Our Town, five members. I think this is the most I've had in here in quite a while. We only have three microphones for you, so I'll have to switch back and forth. Sandy Todd is here with the Sayuslaw Climate Alliance, as well as Maureen Miltenberger. And then David Ballston is here as a volunteer at the Oregon Dunes Restoration Collaborative. Wanda Hill is with the Master Recyclers. And Brian Hadel is also here as well. And he's going to talk to us about some cool little ways to efficiently burn stuff, which I think is cool because I'm kind of a fire bug myself here. So we'll see how that goes up. But anyway, the reason you guys are here, and thank you for letting me know about this, is Earth Day is coming up on April 22nd. That's the nationally celebrated day. But here in Florence, we're going to celebrate it on Saturday, April 20th. And Sandy, tell me a little bit about the Earth Day celebration that is planned. What sort of things are...
Okay, so we're having an event on the boardwalk. We had our first event last year, and this year we are a little bit bigger and hopefully a little bit more organized. We had some little fun events happen last year, like wind blowing away tents and things, but we're hopefully a little better organized this year. We have about 15 local organizations. We have, like with Wanda here, is with Master Recyclers and the Oregon Dunes. We have Surf Riders. We have Oregon Wild, the Florence Garden Club, Food Share, all kinds of organizations are bringing different kinds of projects to show local people how we can better take care of our local environment and protect our local species. So that's our goal for the year.
Now, Maureen, you're also with EMAC. So have you guys been talking a lot about Earth Day and what's coming up in April?
We just got approved at our last meeting to participate in that, as we did last year. And we have some interesting things this year with EMAC because we just got assigned to be the tree board for the city and also the noxious weed board for the city as well. So last year we participated in just having like coloring books for recycling and that sort of thing. And this year with the overall, our overall theme this year is protect our species. So with us being the tree board, we are going to have a lot of information on Arbor Day, which is coming up exactly a week after Earth Day. So we'll have some information that the city will be providing for coloring books and things for people to get to know about trees and what they mean and all that sort of thing. So, yeah, the city's really excited about being a participant this year. So
now you mentioned they've also added the noxious weeds or the invasive kind of things there. I mean, that's something I think that every Earth Day supporter goes, ooh, how are they going to do that without hurting the environment? You know, because obviously a lot of times they have to use chemicals versus digging out. So what are you guys talking about as far as that goes?
As far as the EMAC itself, we have just been assigned this, so we haven't really talked about it as such. But one of the things that's going to be happening at Earth Day this year is that the Garden Club, Master Garden Club, is going is going to be doing a roundup. And so we're going to be talking about bringing in some of the chemical things that people have. So, and there will be a group that will be talking about how can we replace that so that we are using other methods than chemical methods to destroy the noxious weeds and other things that are problems.
Wanda Hill, talk about recycling and what you guys are working on as far as giving information out to the public on how, because recycling's changed a whole lot, especially this last year on what can and cannot be recycled. So talk a little bit about that.
Well, what we're working on for the Earth Day event is how we can reduce food waste and turning it into a resource, turning it back into the earth and enriching the soil. That's the recycling we're talking about this right now.
Would that include things like, I know a lot of times grocery stores have to throw out things that most people would eat, but they can't sell. Are you including that kind of stuff in there as well? Or?
Well, we would like that to happen, you know, eventually that the city could maybe collect food waste and compost it. So we're going to have two demonstrations of worm composting and a Japanese form of pre-composting called bokashi, and that's a fermentation process.
And these are things people like can do in their own backyard?
You could actually do bokashi in your house, and you can even have a worm bin in your kitchen.
Well, you can, yes.
Yeah.
and some people do. I know that.
Yeah, and so that's what that's the issue we're dealing with right now is the food waste issue.
So getting that back into the system to be recycled, to be composted,
right,
and all that.
Yep.
Will there be things
enriching
like
enriching the soil?
Will there be things like samples of composting bins and things like that?
Well, you guys there'll be the worm bin and the bokashi. Okay. So far, that's what we've got.
Okay.
We're cool. Still working on it.
Yeah, I used to have a tumbler.
Bin.
Cool. So you'd put your stuff in.
And literature. We'll have literature for people.
That's
and talk
cool.
about it.
All right. Maureen, did you want to add something?
Well, this isn't directly related to Earth Day, but I know one of the things that we have talked about at EMAC is starting to do a yard waste program. And if we can get that started, then we can start doing a food waste program as part of the city as well. That's a hope. It's not something that's in concrete yet, but we're just hoping down the line that we could pull out something like that.
Well, I think education is a very important part of this, and I'm sure a lot of that's going to go on here. But I know, for example, most people don't know that they can take a lot of their food waste and compost it in their own yard mm-hmm. and even like add grass clippings and things like that and just stir that up and eventually have a nice little product that they can put on their plants and on their vegetables mm-hmm. and stuff
Absolutely.
Like that. So that's good information.
Just be careful what you put out there, because if you put certain things out, you get bears.
Well, that's true. That's true. You got to remember there are bears around here as well. David Ballston is with the Oregon Dunes Restoration Collaboration. And David, what kind of things are you guys going to be participating in?
Well, we are, as you know, the dunes have deteriorated over the years. Back in the 50s, there were big expanse of open sand. And we had some unique species that were specific to the dunes. And they have become more and more endangered over the years. We are working to preserve what we've got, the best of what we've got. And that includes areas of the dunes that are given over to the snowy plover. And that means that nobody can walk on the sand during the snowy plover's nesting time because they're very skittish birds.
Which is now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think the sand closed on the 15th of March. Won't open again till September. But we've recently found a very small population of Humboldt martins, which are small kind of weasel-like things. There are approximately 80, we think, between here or on the dunes. There's another population in Northern California. So that has thrown a little bit of a wrench into the work as far as we also wanted to reintroduce the landscape scale processes of the dunes. In other words, we wanted to get the sand moving again.
Right, which means getting rid of the grasses.
It does. It means getting rid of the grasses. But if we get rid of the grasses, we then get rid of the new vegetation that's cropped up behind the fore dunes, which is now the habitat for the Humboldt martin.
Mm.
So we are having to rethink that. And the biologists, the Forest Service biologists, are coming up with new strategies to deal with that. And we are having to prioritize. So watch this space as far as that's concerned. But we still need volunteers. That's one of our main pushes. We're going to be trying to call up people to come in and help us. Because, as you said, when Maureen was talking about removing the invasive species from the city, we don't want to use Roundup or any glyphosate or anything like that on the dunes, because that's a natural place.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way that we can deal with it on the small scale is hand pulling. And we need volunteers. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be roping people in. I was out there on Saturday and we were pulling broom with a group of about 10 of us. Another area that we'll be doing, we'll be trying to promote the education. We'll be looking at telling people what current strategies are. We'll be looking at the successes that we've had, because there are some successes. We've up at Baker Beach, for example, and some of the bigger problems that we've got, because they're the huge dunes, and we've only focused on kind of around here, and we're now trying to shift the focus a little bit so that we can start attacking it from the south as well, because the dunes are so long. So Dina Pavlis, our educator, is going to be down in Coos Bay on the 7th of April giving a talk at 4 o'clock in the Seven Devils Brewery. Which sounds like a brilliant place.
Yeah, sounds like that's a great idea for me, yeah.
Basically that's what we'll be doing. We'll be educating people, we'll be signing people up for volunteer work, and there'll be little giveaways for children and any small adults that want to pretend to be children that want a packet of seeds, they're welcome to.
All right, so again, we're talking about ultimately, we're talking about Earth Day that's coming up, and it's going to be celebrated here Saturday, April 20th on the boardwalk. And Brian Hadel is here. Now, Brian, pull that in a little closer there and tell me a little bit about what you're doing with this furnace or stove that you're working on.
Well, it's called a rocket mass heater. I'm going to be bringing one to the event. It'll be an outdoor rocket mass heater. And it's just another way to heat any space. Mine's going to be specifically designed for outdoor use. But there are people putting them in homes and garages and whatnot across the country. Portland was the first city that I know of that developed a new process for permitting these things out, because they are quite different than a typical wood-burning stove. There's been claims of up to a tenth of the wood to be used to heat an equal space as compared to a wood-burning stove. And
so how does that work exactly?
Well, it's that's why I'm going to be bringing one and showing everybody. It's kind of complicated, but basically you're burning the smoke, the creosote, all the byproducts, which creates heat as well, and therefore you don't need as much wood.
And I'm guessing it's a sealed environment.
It's a very sealed environment. It has to be insulated. The combustion chamber can't be made of something like metal that radiates heat. It has to push the heat back upon itself. And from there, you take the heat and you basically store it in some sort of mass, which can be a mason material or water or, you know, rocks, whatever.
Hmm. Sounds like a pretty cool idea. Very efficient, yeah. I imagine so.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun to build. You can make them out of all sorts of scrap materials and keep the cost down.
Right. So what are some of the other events that are going to be happening, Sandy?
Well, we have two different aspects of the event on the boardwalk. You know, we have all of the local people who will be there, and we have a lot of things for children. We know it's Easter weekend, and so if you have family, you know, coming in to visit from out of state or out of the area, what have you, we're going to have coloring book giveaways. We have a big mosaic that we're making out of bottle caps. Gina Castro-Brandt actually at the high school kind of gave us some tips on how to put that together. So bottle caps are not the plastic bottle caps off of water bottles. They're not recyclable. And so we're going to have this big mosaic. It's a big project that we're a little bit nervous about, but we have this mosaic that we're going to put together, and the kids can dig through the sand and they'll be finding either you know, the agates or the clamshells or those kind of things, or they are going to find the things that don't belong on our beaches, which is the plastics, and they'll learn how to recycle, or they'll take the bottle cap and put it on the art project. And we have some other ideas of what we can do with bottle caps, tic-tac-toe. You can take your bottle caps and make alphabet, you know, the alphabet, and let your little kids, you know, learn to spell cat and all that kind of thing. We also have entertainment. We have a special event at 11 o'clock. We have our hula dancers who were there last year, and they will explain, as they do the hula dance, they'll explain the hand movements and how they, you know, connect to the earth. And the Bollywood dancers actually also have, from the Hindu perspective, some of their movements also relate to the earth, so they'll be there. We have musicians. Tom Sweeney will be singing. The Steve McVeigh Band will be singing. So we have something for everybody. We're trying to make this a lot of fun and to, you know, learn at the same time and hopefully join in and help whatever group that you know, you're passionate about. We hope that get more volunteers, because we can always use more volunteers. We have a great community of volunteers. Florence is known for that, but we can always use more. So that's our plan.
All right. Now, the specifics of the event, Maureen, the date and times, I mean, it's obviously Saturday, April 20th. What are the times that it's going to be?
We are going to be open from 10 till 2. We would go forever into the afternoon, except we deal with the wind. And so if we find out that it's not windy and people want to hang on, we can probably hang on for a while longer. But our specified hours are 10 to 2. So we hope to see everybody, because this is a really excellent family event and going to learn something, too.
Now, following up on the Monday after Easter, you guys are going to have also another event at City Light Cinemas. It's a movie. What's the story on the movie?
The movie is called Before the Flood. and it was done in 2016. And it's kind of an educational film, but it's really fun because Leonardo DiCaprio is the one that sort of talks through the whole thing. So that's going to be really cool. But it does talk about climate change in a way that people can understand and still have kind of I don't want to say the word fun with climate change, but can get interested in it and maybe go home and ask some questions to each other as to what was that movie all about. So we're really excited about that. And that's going to be two different times. That's going to be 12:30 and 6:30 at City Light Cinema. So we're really happy that they're cooperating and helping us educate the public as well. So
let me ask sort of an offbeat question here, because this is something that I feel is like we missed the boat on this. When they created the term global warming, I think it really became a hot button for both sides because it really doesn't give you the sense of what's going on with the climate. Everyone's like, oh, well, it's snowing out here. It's not global warming. Explain a little bit, whoever wants to tackle that, as to what the reality of is. The term is sort of a misnomer.
Yeah, it is. It is. And when the term first came out and people started arguing about it, the scientists realized that. And they changed it fairly quickly to climate change. But unfortunately, the word global warming stuck.
Mm-hmm.
The crucial thing is to remember that there is a difference between local weather and the climate. And your local weather is affected by the climate. So if you see changes in your local weather, that is as a result of a change in the climate. So, for example, if it does get super cold in Minnesota because there's a polar vortex, that's because there is a change in the climate which is forcing the jet stream further south, dragging cold air in from the north. So the majority of the planet is getting warmer on average. But that includes places like Central Africa, Antarctica, Alaska, as well as Minnesota. And that's the difference between global warming and climate change. It's we are warming as a planet, and that is going to radically affect life on the planet. I mean, as far as I'm aware, we are beyond the point of no return. But we can mitigate some of the changes that are going to happen.
Maybe we can slow it down some if we make changes.
We can maybe slow it down. We can maybe limit the amount of changes that are likely to happen in the future for future generations. But we can't stop it from happening. No, it's gone too far for that.
Well, when you look out, and again, I don't know all the science of this, but, you know, I can't see, like, we have people that joke about the cows, you know, having a carbon footprint and causing problems. Mm-hmm. Yet you see millions of vehicles on the road each day.
Yeah.
Those materials that built that were pulled out of the earth. They put stuff back in the atmosphere. You just can't tell me that all us 8 billion people, or however many there are now, don't affect
Absolutely.
The world as a whole.
I'm sorry, I
don't buy that fact that, oh, well, we're just going on and there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, methane is a very powerful greenhouse gas. There's no doubt about that, but it is fairly short-lived in the atmosphere. Carbon dioxide is less powerful, but it is longer lived, so it has a greater effect. So we can do something about that.
I got a joke about methane, but I'm not going to go on. Go ahead.
Well, you say methane, I say methane.
Yeah, there you go.
But I mean, we can do things. There are little things that we can do at home. I mean, and all change, the most powerful change starts at the ground and works its way up. And we can work as individuals within the home, within the garden, and within the community. And that's all that I can do as a person. All I can do is affect my own footprint.
Right.
But if enough people do that, and we raise the awareness that we're doing it so that the politicians take it on board, then that starts to snowball.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, doing your own recycling at home, planting your own vegetation at home. I mean, anything
absolutely.
That you can do.
Yeah.
Maureen?
Well, I just wanted to say that we have a very enthusiastic group. We have meetings talking about this Earth Day. We're extremely enthusiastic and very excited about doing this. And I think one of the reasons is what you were talking about, is that when you listen to the news and you look at the overall things, like I can't do anything about that. I'm powerless because these are big words and this is a hard thing to understand. But when you bring it down to the local level, like he was talking about, there are so many things that you can do. And I think being able to participate in something like this kind of brings it home and makes you realize that it isn't them. that needs to take care of this. It's me. I'm the one. And there's little tiny things that I can do that make a big impact. If every single person does that little tiny thing, we'll have a huge impact. So I think that's why we're very, very excited that we're bringing this to the town and people can participate and learn a lot of things about how they can help themselves here locally in our little town.
All right. Well, if you guys don't have anything else, I'd just like to thank you all for coming today. And again, it's April 20th. It's on the boardwalk, and it's from 10 until 2. And then on Monday, they have a movie two times at City Light Cinemas here in Florence. So everybody get out there and take part of it. Thank you all for being here today.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for publicizing it for us.
Yes.
And that's it for our April edition of Our Town. Next month, we got a special election coming up. We'll be talking with some of the folks who were involved in that for sure. That's it for this edition of Our Town.